I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
And now,
Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. You hear my words?
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land, revolutionary greetings. This is Comrade Bumani. You heard Secure Joy Universal Radio. I'm glad to be with y'all people tonight. Bring a historical shoulder into the vote. Bring a historical shoulder in tonight. We're going to commemorate our fallen comrade, Hugo Yoga Pinnell. We have a few guests on who know the comrade personally that are going to deliver their message to the people, to the mass people. It's going to be an educational platform. I'd like to bring on, I'm saying, our co-host, Rafiki Jamil. You know what I'm saying? Very opening words. Rafiki. All right, Dave, you hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Oh, I kind of see that. The mic open, man. Hold up. All right,
okay. I'm on the phone, dude. Oh,
to the Allegra, you on? To the Allegra, you on? To the Allegra. Rafiki. Big Earn. Hold up, Dave. Let me see what's up, Conrad. Hold up. Yeah. Come on, I'm going to call you back, and then I'm going to call the show back in. Jeremy?
You going to call?
All right.
Are you going to call?
Revolutionary Grizz, people. This is George, this is Conrad Bumani with Georgia University Radio, and we have an action-packed show, historical to the standpoint of to the people oppression other than the people struggle. We're going to be commemorating the following of Conrad Yogi Hugo Pinedo tonight. And we have on tonight on the show we have David Johnson from the San Quentin Six. We have a personal Conrad of Yogi. Tonight, Big Iron, and we had his daughter on the show tonight, Allegra. And we're going to be sharing our thoughts about the situation, you know what I'm saying, to commemorate, you know what I'm saying, to keep the legacy of the fallen comrade alive. I would like to pass the mic on to my fellow comrade in the arm, fellow comrade in the struggle, Rafiki Jamil, to open up his opening words before we get the carry of the show on into a great aspect of the show. Rafiki, you on, Conrad?
Oh, you talking about me?
Nah, that big Iron. How you doing,
Yeah, this is Big Iron.
Okay, brother.
You hear me?
I hear you, Conrad. I hear you. I have David Johnson on the line with me. I have Conrad David on the line with me. He's on as well. Sister Allegra, are you on?
I'm here.
Okay. I went on Conrad Rafi to come on. Hold up. I'm saying when he come on, I'm telling him to say something, but I'm just gonna open up the show, right? Okay. Sister Allegra. Okay,
yeah.
Can you introduce yourself to the people, so you can know who you are?
My name is Allegra.
Can you tell the people, you know what I'm saying, your relationship to Hugo Yoga Pinedo?
I'm Hugo's daughter.
Oh, you're a daughter, okay. Did you... You know what I'm saying? Did you ever hear about your father via your research before you knew he was your father?
Did I hear about him in my research before I knew he was my father? I knew about my father before I researched my father. Yes, I did.
Okay. So can you tell us how did it make you feel, you know what I'm saying, when you first met your father face to face? When did you meet him? When is the first time did you meet him?
I met my father face to face when he got here in Folsom at the California State Prison, Sacramento. And when I first met my dad, I just, he didn't seem anything like what I had read.
Where actually have you read about your father?
Oh, all the bad things, all of his criminal activity that they accused him of and what they kept him in prison for. But that wasn't the man that I found when I met my dad. Met him for the first time and saw him. The first time, that's not who I saw.
Do you remember the first day you met him? Do you remember the exact date when you first met him?
No, I just remember that it was in March. The week, either the week before or the week after his birthday.
And what year was this?
In 2014.
Okay. when you met him, you know what I'm saying? What kind of man did you meet when you first met him, you know what I'm saying? How was the conversation? Was he calm? Or was he aggressive? Or was he compassionate? Was he full of love?
No, he was extremely gracious. He was very gentle. It was a bit of an emotional encounter for both of us, but he just exuded what I consider love off the bat. I mean, he made it very clear to me that he realized that I might have read some things about him or heard some things about him, and he opened the door to let me know that if I had any questions about anything, that I can ask him anything and he would answer any and all of my questions. He was just really kind to me. He was very patient with me. He just allowed me to be me, and he just wanted to show me as much love as he could, and he did that.
That's a great thing.
Right on.
That's a great thing. You know what I'm saying? Did he ever share thoughts of about how you feel about the people and the prison movement and the struggle? Did he ever share thoughts with you about that?
Yes, he did. He said that he took on this fight because he's a humanitarian, that he believed that the inmates had rights, and that he believed that they needed to be treated with dignity and respect, even though they were in prison. And that's what he fought for, that's what he lived for, and that's what he died for.
Right on.
He was about unity. He didn't like dividing. He was about unity in the family. He was about unity in the prison inmate class. And he was about unity of people, the humanitarian race of people. He thought that we should all be considerate of each other. And he talked in great detail about just love for people.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. He was a soldier of the people.
Okay. Speak up, David. Hold up. Sister Legger, did your father ever mention David Johnson?
Yes, he mentioned
your correspondent.
My dad talked about David Johnson with great love.
He's actually on the line right now. That's why I mentioned that. He's actually on the line right now. Yeah, but continue on. Let David come in and speak your words.
Well, I think Allegra kind of put it in his perspective that, you know, Yogi was he was a very, very warm brother. Very warm. And like she was saying, you know, he was a soldier of the people. No matter what your race was, if you had an issue that needed to be dealt with and he could in any way help you, he would. You know, and it was like what you said, trying to do, see, it's what, you know, people don't understand that the environment that's being created is a very savage and brutal environment. I know for me speaking, and probably Yogi as well, every day that you woke up in that environment, one of the things that I would say is I'm going to be a good human being today. I am not going to let these people take away my humanity. And that's a struggle in itself, because like I said, the conditions being so savage and barbaric, you know, it's a struggle to maintain your humanity. And Yogi was an example of that. He never lost his humanity. He maintained that. He was steadfast. He was steadfast in his belief that the people will eventually, you know, achieve their goals in establishing a society that's going to be more humane and just. And another thing about Yogi, he was a master chess player.
Yeah.
All people all through the system knew Yogi as a great. I know during our critical times, from 1971 to 1974, we had nothing, no reading material, you know, no newspapers, no radio, nothing. And they would give us a sack lunch, you know, a paper bag and little stubby pencils. And me and Yogi made a chessboard, you know, not just us, but that's, you know, people who play chess, they would tear up the little, you know, open the bag up, you know, make your chessboard and then tear the little pieces of bag and write a K on it for king, Q for queen, and, you know, put it in its place and play chess. I played during that time period, I played Yogi 100 games of chess before I won one game. I mean, that's that to maintain our sanity, and also, you know, chess is a game where you have to think. It's a thinking game. And it, so not only was it for our sanity, but it also to keep our minds clear and focused, you know. Like I said, he was a strong chess. Like I said, all through California system, people knew Yogi was a great chess player.
Could you tell the listener more about how you met Yogi? How y'all first meet each other? How y'all first met each other?
Well, I was in this was in San Quentin. This was like in 1971. I was in B section, and they had an incident in B section, and I got transferred over to the Adjustment Center. So while I was in the Adjustment Center, at that time, Yogi was in Soledad. And George was there, Frieda John, you know, was there in Quinn. And Yogi was in Soledad. And then at some point, they transferred Yogi from Soledad to Quentin. I think this was like maybe July of 1970. Yeah, maybe about July 1971. You know, and so when he first came, when they first brought him from Soledad and put him in the Adjustment Center, you know, everybody knew he was there. You know, and so when he brought him in, he made it known who he was, and people made it known that, you know, Yogi had arrived. And then before they gave him a cell assignment, they put him on the side where we were. And so he came down the tier and, you know, he greeted all the comrades, you know, and then when they got ready to bring him out and put him on the other side where George and John Fleeter was. But that was our first meeting. You know. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers the question, Conrad. Okay. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Can you tell me more about, I see what the media is saying, you know what I'm saying? And what the society is saying, you know, they pitch the comrades as a bad individual, they're being negative, they're being violent. But from my understanding that, you know what I'm saying, that y'all are brothers up in the Solidarity brothers, you know what I'm saying, in the San Quentin 6, y'all actually would defend yourself against racial attacks, and y'all defend yourself against the oppression they put before y'all. You know what I'm saying? So what society saying that doesn't have no weight, you know what I'm saying, which y'all doing to protect your lives, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was part of, you know, our overall struggle, you know, in dealing with racism, you know, violence and predatory behavior, you know, because a lot of that did occur, and we were opposed to, you know, that kind of behavior. So, you know, we organized ourselves to, you know, fight that, you know, in whatever way that we could. You know, if there was a way we could resolve some issues without, you know, violence or physical conflict, we did. You know, and George, you know, like I said, there was a period of time when George was alive that there was convict unity, you know, and like every movement, you know, it you know, the goal of the oppressor is to destroy any movement in opposition to what it wants to do in its embryonic stages. You know, and George talked about that. We all knew about that. Yogi knew about that. You know, and that's what made him so strong, because Yogi was under tremendous pressure. And like I said, I witnessed, you know, a lot of the physical brutality that he was subjected to, you know, and, you know, me and him, we got out, you know, they attacked us. Every chance we got, we attacked them. I mean, and that's the only way. Like I said, he was a warm brother, but at the same time, he was a soldier. He understood what they were trying to do to him. He understood, and he was very aware, because he was there and witnessed what they did to the comrade. You know, so he, you know, like I said, as the comrade said, you know, he was in the crosshairs. Yogi, we are all in the crosshairs.
I'm listening, Conrad. Hold up, Conrad. It's some technical difficulty, right? I'm going to shut the show down all in general. Some technical difficulty right now. So I find out what's going on. From the technical support. So I'm going to shut the show down right now. Probably I'm rescheduled for further notice, but I'm going to shut the show down, Conrad. It's very disappointing, man, but, you know, I'm sorry, Sister Allegra and Big Iron. But it's just gonna take a different going. I'm gonna find out what's going on before we continue this.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll be here.
All right, I'll be here.
Okay. Hey, Allegra, you take care of yourself and stay strong, huh?
I will, David.
All right. Big iron. You're in big iron.
And one day we'll see each other.
Yeah, I'm going to see what's going on. I got to see what's going on, man. I'm going to reschedule. All right.
Okay, then. I'll be all open.
All right. One love.
One love.
One love.